Stand with me, if you will, as we go to Hebrews chapter 4 and verse number 14. We'll read the last three verses of the chapter for the message tonight, where the Bible says, "Seeing then we have a great high priest that is passed into the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold fast to our profession. For we have not an high priest which cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin. Let us therefore," because of these wonderful things about Christ, let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. I want to preach tonight on this subject, the difficult thing about God's help. You stay with me tonight. The difficult thing about God's help. Heavenly Father, thank you for the Word of God, and thank you, Lord, just for the fellowship of God's people. Lord, when I do go to stores and places in the world, I don't feel comfortable. But Lord, I can come to a place like this that I've never been before, and to be with the people of God that have within them the same Spirit of God, and to feel at home. And I enjoy it, and I thank you for it, and I thank you for the fellowship of God's people. I pray now that you bless the preaching of your word. I hunger for your power as I preach tonight. Help us, I pray, with your word. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. I think it is quite amazing that you and I, as a child of God, can go to God in prayer and get help in the time of need. In fact, no one in the Scripture or since the writing of the Scripture has accomplished anything outside of prayer and faith in God. They haven't. When you study the prayer life of every accomplished leader in the Bible, you find that they were people of prayer and faith. For you see, without faith, it is impossible to please the Lord. And so we find it is a wonderful thing that we can go to God in prayer. I want to give you five statements from these verses tonight to help us understand them. And I give you the message, the difficult thing about God's help. First of all, I want to point out God is touched with the feeling of our infirmities. You know, it would be enough if the Bible says that he was touched with our infirmity, that he is touched with our weakness, that he's touched with our burden, that he's touched with our hurt. But it says more than that. It says we have a high priest that's touched with the feeling of our infirmity. We have six grandchildren, and I work to get that in the message tonight, and I can show you their pictures after church if you'd like to see them. But we have grandchildren, and they'll fall down, skin their knee or something, and then when we hear them cry, we're touched, first of all, by the feeling of their infirmity, even before we find out what the infirmity is. Isn't that an interesting thing? And I have a God that loves me. I have his attention just with my cry, just with going to him in need. He's touched not just with my infirmity, he's touched with the feeling of my infirmity. I want you to notice, second of all, it is our responsibility to go to God in prayer. Even though God knows our needs, he instructs us to come to him in prayer by faith. Notice he says in verse number 16, "Let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need." When you have need, when you carry a burden, when you attempt a work for God, we must go to God in prayer. You recall the story when the disciples were in the boat and they were in a storm. And the Bible says that they were toiling and rowing. And the Bible says that Jesus was in the hinder part of the ship and he was asleep. And the Bible says this, that the water began to come into the boat. And then they finally woke up Jesus and they asked a very dumb question. They said to Jesus, "Carest not that we perish?" Now that's a dumb question. In fact, I'd like to ask the disciples a question. Why did you near drown before you woke him up? Why did you wait so long? Why did you wait till the boat was full of water and you were full of fear before you called on him? I want to say tonight, it's our responsibility to go to God in prayer. I find it interesting the stories that are similar. The Bible tells us in another case that the disciples were in the boat and they were rowing and they were in toiling and rowing. And the Bible says that Jesus was walking on the water. And it says, and he would have passed by them. But may I say, Jesus wasn't out there just to get his steps in. He was out there to help them, but he was not going to unless they called on him. He wants us to come to him in prayer. Perhaps the prayer I word the most on a Sunday morning when I get to the church early is I say, Lord, I don't want you to pass by today. I don't want you to walk by our church. I want you to come in. And I refer to that story. It is our responsibility to go to God in prayer. I want to say number three, he tells us that we are to come boldly. Now, what does that mean? We're to come to Christ boldly. It means to come courageously and with confidence. I like those two words. We're to go to God in prayer courageously and with confidence. Hebrews 11:6 says, he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. Some years ago, I was in my office on a Saturday afternoon or Saturday evening, and I was studying, and my oldest son, we have five children, three boys and two dramas, or two girls, but my oldest son was just a little boy, and he stuck his head in the doorway of the office, and he just stood there a minute, and I looked up. I said, yes, sir, what do you need? He said, can I get 50 cents? Now, there's a snack machine down in the school. I knew what he wanted. And I said, son, I said, I'm really busy right now. I'm getting ready for church tomorrow. And so he went away. It wasn't 5 minutes. He stuck his head back in that door again and said, hey, Dad. I said, Joel, what is it? He said, could I get 50 cents? I said, Joel, I told you I'm busy. I said, just let me study and I'll be finished in a little while. He came back the third time. He put his head back in. I'll never forget what he said. He put his head back in. I said, Joel, are you back? He stepped inside the door and he said, Dad, if I can't get 50 cents from you, who can I get it from?
Yeah.
And if I can't get what I need from him, who can I get it from? He tells us to come boldly to the throne of grace. What is your burden tonight? What is your need tonight? What is God's will for your life? And God's will has led you beyond your ability, has led you beyond your strength, has led you beyond your talent. And you call on him and say, Lord, oh, how I need you. The Bible says, come boldly to the throne of grace. First of all, I said, God is touched even with the feeling of our infirmities. Second of all, I said, it is our responsibility to go to God in prayer. I said, number three, we're to come boldly to the throne of grace. It's interesting what happens when we come to the throne of grace. Number four, the Bible says that we may obtain mercy. We come to the throne of grace that we may obtain mercy. He later says grace, but first of all, he says mercy. I find that interesting in my study of the words mercy and grace. I have defined them for me simply. Mercy is God not giving me what I deserve. Mercy is God not giving me what I deserve. Some years ago, a young man came to my office and said to my secretary, I'd like to see the pastor. And he came in and I said, can I help you? And he introduced himself. And then he said, I am a student. I am a religion student at the local university. Now, what that means was he was really confused. That's what that meant. He had studied all the religions of the world. And he said to me in just his opening comments, he said, I'll just tell you, I don't think God is fair. And I said to him, well, I'll agree with you there. He said, no, I don't think you understood what I said. He said, I don't think that God is fair. I said, I heard you. And I said, I agree with you there. He said, what do you mean you agree? It made him mad that I agreed with him. He said, what do you mean that you agree with me? I said, well, here's how it is. I said, you and I are sinners. And we deserve a devil's hell because we've sinned against God. But God gave His Son to die on the cross who knew no sin, who had no sin, and He died in your place and He died in my place, and I'm going to heaven. Not because of who I am or what I've done. I'm going to heaven because God gave His only begotten Son that I could have eternal life. That didn't sound too fair to me, but I'm thankful for the mercy of God. He didn't give me what I deserve. You know, when I go to God in prayer, sometimes we go a tad complaining. Sometimes we go a tad in pity in prayer. And when I spend time in the presence, in the holiness, in the righteousness of God, I come to the realization, a friend, it could be a whole lot worse than where I am today. And I'm mighty blessed to be where I am. And I find mercy when I go to the throne of grace. And then 5, the Bible says, I find grace to help in time of need. Now that's a wonderful thing. It's a wonderful thing to know the promises here. Find grace to help in time of need. But there's a difficulty in God's help. You see, sometimes when we call on God in prayer, we call on God as if we're dialing 911. And we wait 2, 3, 4 minutes, and we want to hear the sirens. We want to hear the sirens blaring and the lights flashing and the tires screeching, and God just come rolling in and take away all of our problems and take away all of our burdens and just fix everything so we can go back to enjoying life. That's not how God works. That's not how God works in any passage of Scripture. When you go to God, you find grace to help in time of need. And God is the one that decides what kind of help and how He will help me. He sort of reminds me of going to the emergency room. You ever go to the emergency room and you think you're 30 minutes shy of death? And the lady hands you 47 papers and said, here, fill these out. And you think, I ain't going to live long enough to fill them out if you don't help me. I mean, I've got a kidney stone, I've got something, I'm going to die. But they've seen that before. You ever seen a doctor working in triage? And they understand when something really is an emergency. Can I tell you something? There's a God in heaven. He knows what my need is. And He knows how to help me. And He knows how to give the grace I need and the grace to help me in the time of need. Take your Bibles and go with me to 2 Corinthians chapter 12. Let me show you an illustration of what I'm saying. 2 Corinthians chapter 12, a very familiar passage of Scripture. The Bible says, beginning in verse number 7, and lest I should be exalted above measure, there was given to me a thorn in the flesh. And this is a very interesting story. Lest I should be exalted above measure through the abundance of the revelations, there was given to me, God gave it to me, a thorn in the flesh, the messenger of Satan to buffet me, lest I should be exalted above measure. Now, I like this because Paul prayed just like I prayed. Paul prayed just like we pray. Here's what he said, for this thing I besought the Lord thrice that it might depart from me. Paul never thought he needed the thorn. He never thought he needed this problem. And so he prayed just like I pray. Lord, would you take this burden away? Would you solve this problem for me? And he went thrice or 3 times. I do not believe that was 3 mentions to God before going to bed. I don't believe it was 3 mealtime prayers. I believe perhaps it was 3 seasons of prayer that God said, Lord, please, that Paul said, Lord, please take this burden away. But he didn't do that. Notice what the Bible says. This is how God helps. And he said unto me, my grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. Then Paul says, most gladly, therefore, will I rather glory in my infirmity. Why? that the power of Christ may rest upon me. What happened to Paul? He did not get his prayer answered the way he recommended God answer it, but God gave him a grace to bear, to carry that burden. And Paul used that grace not just for that day. He used it for the rest of his life. He used that strength. And as we look back over the trials of life and times, that we said, oh God, take away this burden. Oh God, take away this difficulty. God didn't take it away, but He gave us grace and He gave us strength. And we've been referring to that grace. We've been using that strength since the day that God gave it to us. And the difficult thing about us getting help from God is the fact that we have to trust that He gives us what we need, but He gives us grace day by day. Let me show you another story. Take your Bibles and go to 1 Kings chapter 17. 1 Kings chapter 17. Now, I know many Christians tonight, they're angry at God because they dialed 911 and God didn't come running in an ambulance and a fire truck. And they're mad at God because God didn't just fix the problem. But that's not the way God works. God knows what I need. God knows how to give me grace and strength day by day. In this story in 1 Kings chapter 17, I'll not read all of it in just a moment. I'll read verse number 12. But we find here Elijah, he's been by the brook Cherith, and the ravens have been feeding him. I can't imagine what they was bringing him. What I've seen ravens eat didn't look too appetizing to me. And he's been drinking water from the brook, and all of a sudden, or not all of a sudden, but day by day, finally the brook dries up. And God tells Elijah, I want you to go down to Zarephath. There is a widow woman that will sustain thee. I imagine, now being a preacher, you tell me that the widows are cooking Sunday, I'm excited. I imagine that Elijah's thinking, boy, I'm glad. I'm tired of these ravens in this brook. I want some fried chicken and I want some mashed potatoes and gravy. I mean, if the widow woman's going to cook, praise God, I'm going to be just fine. You know the story. He gets down there and he tells her what God said. And look at verse number 7. And she said, as the Lord thy God liveth, I have not a cake. She said, I don't have enough meal to make a pone of cornbread. You all know what I'm talking about when I say a pone of cornbread, don't you? I was way up north the other day, and I said that and asked me after church what a pone of cornbread was. It's a cake. It's a whole pone of cornbread anyway. It makes soup beans extra good. But anyway, it says, as the Lord thy God liveth, I have not a cake. She said, I don't have enough meal to make a whole cake. But an handful of meal in a barrel and a little oil in a cruse. And behold, I'm gathering two sticks. Look here. She said, I'm out here getting a couple of sticks that I may go in and dress it for me and my son that we may eat it and die. This is it. We're down to our last handful of meal. Now, you know the story. She obeyed the Lord. She followed the instruction of the prophet and she made him a meal. He ate of that handful of meal. You know the story. She planned her funeral the next day, and the next day she went in and she looked in the barrel, and lo and behold, there's another handful of meal in that barrel. So she ate that and she put her funeral off for another day. Then the next morning she went in and there was another handful of meal and a little bit of oil in the cruse, and she put her funeral off for another day. And that went on day after day until the famine and until the drought had ended. And you know what we would like for God to do? We'd like for God to just fill up the barrel. And when God doesn't fill up the barrel, sometimes we get mad at God and say, God, what's wrong? But God needs me, wants me. I need to keep trusting in God day by day. I need to keep my faith in Him. And I'm telling you, dear friend, we need to understand this matter of faith and trusting God. God didn't give us everything we need. If He did, for the next 6 months, while we backslide on God, we come to the place that we would think we don't need God, because that's how the pride of our flesh is. And it happened again and again to the best of men and the best of people. Oh, but we need to trust in Him. Go to God in prayer in the time of need, and He'll give us grace to help for another day. That's the way it is in life. That's the way it is in ministry. There's so many folks I pray for day after day. One of the men asked me here tonight, we have two infants that we've been praying for, both of them critically ill. And one got better and just started improving day by day, going home from the hospital in the next couple of days. The other passed away last Monday. Had the funeral on Saturday for a baby 30 days old. It was a difficult thing. But you know, the grace of God is just, I marvel at it. I marvel at it. Here's a young couple, 23 years of age. He is, his grandparents are from Mexico. He is going back to Oaxaca, Mexico as a missionary. He said, I want to reach my family for Christ with the gospel. There's no Bible preaching church in that area. And he said, perhaps, preacher, God has used this to help us to be a blessing to others. And oh, what a blessing it was to see his grace. Now my prayer was, Lord, heal the child. But God knows what he's doing. The difficult thing about God's help is let God help us the way He wants to help us. And He helps us day by day. And He gives us grace day by day. He doesn't fill the barrel up. He doesn't take away the problem. He doesn't solve everything at once. When I was a boy, my dad started Bible Baptist Church in 1972. Now, my grandfather was born in southeast Kentucky in 1901. He was a coal miner for 42 years there in the mountains of southeast Kentucky. My dad left for a few years. He went to Dayton. A lot of our family went to Dayton. Some made it to Detroit. Some ran out of gas in Dayton. They all got jobs there and so forth. And a faithful soul-winning preacher got my dad back in church. He'd been saved at a little missionary Baptist church. And so he went back home and started a church in 1972. I remember as a boy, now I'm not complaining, but life was simple. And the depression was over, but nobody told us. I mean, we didn't waste anything. I'm telling you the truth. I mean, we saved our scraps and fed them to the hogs, and then we ate the hogs when they got big enough. My grandmother would go with my grandfather when it was time to get feed, because she wanted to pick out the sacks that the feed came in, because that's what she made her dresses out of. Feed sack dresses. I mean, that life was simple. I thought everybody lived like that. One fellow down there said he was so poor, if somebody had broken his house, he'd have helped them look. That's pretty poor right there. But I grew up in those days, and life was simple. I remember Dad started the church, and after church on a Sunday night, we lived in a little single-wide trailer, and after church on a Sunday night, there was two or three young men, probably teenagers, 18, 19 years old. I remember, preacher, they counted the offering, and they just said, preacher, there's not any left to give any salary this week. I remember they left quietly. I remember my mama crying and going to the back bedroom. I was sitting on a couch in the living room, and I saw my dad get on his knees. And he prayed out loud, and he was crying. He said, God, I've got a wife to take care of, and I've got a family to feed. I pray that you'd meet our needs. And he poured his heart out. I cried because he was crying. I'll never forget it. The next day, my dad went to the post office. Now, they didn't deliver the mail to our house. Everybody, everybody's address in that part of the country was General Delivery, Chavies, Kentucky, 41727. You all went in, and I think the way it worked, you traded a little gossip for your mail or something. That seemed how it worked to me. And my dad, he got an envelope, and he opened that envelope, and there was two $100 bills. My dad was so excited. He was so excited. I remember when the front door of that single-wide trailer came open, and Dad came running in the house looking for my mom, holding that envelope over his head. And my mom and Dad, they danced around the kitchen table, and they praised God. I didn't have anybody to dance with. I just stood there and watched them. We all had a good time. And my dad said, I'll tell you what let's do. We'll go up to the little country store, and we'll buy groceries. And then later we'll go up to town, and we'll buy a lot of groceries. And I remember how they just praised God. My dad would tell the story like this. He would say, I prayed for it on Sunday night. God put it in the mail the Friday before. You know, I watched God do that, and I've seen Him do that now for 40-some-odd years. I've watched God provide, and He's a wonderful God. The psalmist said, I've yet to see His seed begging bread. And when we go boldly to the throne of grace, we find mercy and we find grace to help in time of need. And you may be here tonight, and you may pray a prayer as the Apostle Paul did and say, Lord, please take the burden away. And God may not have taken the burden away, and you've prayed seasons of prayer. Oh, but God is giving you grace. How many times have you heard someone say, I just can't make it? 10 years later, they're still making it. We can make it by the grace of God. We've got a mighty good God. He's given us more than we deserve. That's how I understand His mercy. I'm going to heaven by the grace of God and the mercy of God. His Son died on the cross for my sin. And oh, dear friend, how God provides as we do His work, as we step out by faith. I told Brother Smith on the way over here, a gentleman saw our program on television on Saturday night. Actually, it was during 2020, and started watching, and he called me the other day. He said, Brother Fugit, he said, I've got a little piece of property I'd like to show you. I stopped by there today. He said, what do you think about these 10 acres? I said, oh, it'd be a beautiful place for a church right here. We need a church in Moorhead, Kentucky. Well, he said, that's what my wife wants to do. If that's what you want to do, God provides. Oh, listen to me. I prayed 10 years ago. I've been praying. I've got a list of towns I've been praying for that we need churches. We've started 60-some-odd churches. Oh, but the need of the nation, the need of the hour is to have a Bible-preaching, soul-winning church on every corner, every town, and every city. And I thank God that He's still providing. And God does give us grace to help in time of need. Don't be mad at God tonight if you don't hear the sirens. You don't see the flashing lights. And God seems to be like one of those workers at the emergency room moving sort of slow. Can I tell you something? God does care about you. And God works when we don't see Him work. Wonder how many prayers the prodigal son prayed for his son. I wonder, the father prayed for the prodigal son. I wonder how many prayers he prayed. I wonder how many days it was. The Bible says that day he came to himself and he said, I will arise.
Yeah.
I wonder how many days it was before his daddy found out. And God had been working in the heart of that boy. I want to say tonight, don't stop praying. Keep on praying. The Bible principles through, all the way through. He teaches us in Matthew 6:11, give us this day our daily bread. The Bible tells us in Exodus 23, when the children of Israel went into the land of Canaan, it was exactly as God had told them it was. But He said, you don't get it all at once. You get it by little and little. I will drive them out from before thee until thou be increased and inherit the land. Our culture affects us a lot. It affects us. We want things quick. We want things fast. I remember when the Christmas catalog came out from Sears and Roebuck, don't you? The Christmas catalog. And boy, I'd start 6 months ahead of time. Then I'd change my mind 47 times. We've come to the place today we're impatient. We can order it in Amazon and put it on our porch in 48 hours. Can I tell you something? God's economy hadn't changed. The way God works hadn't changed. My grandfather, he didn't get paid in the mines. He got scrip, and he would trade the scrip at the commissary store. That's the economy of that day. Now we've come to the place, now they're introducing palm readers. In the Whole Foods stores, palm readers. Don't get nervous about that. Hey, things not falling apart. They're falling in place. Jesus is coming soon. The economy's changed, but God's economy hadn't changed. Come boldly to the throne of grace and obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. That's how churches are built, day by day, week by week. 30 years, faithful, watching God supply. Stand with me if you will. Thank you so much for your attention. Our heads are bowed, our eyes are closed. I wonder if there are those here tonight, you have perhaps a heavy burden. Or perhaps tonight you have a broken heart, or you have a need, and you've gone to God in prayer, and you're going to God in prayer. I want to say tonight, don't give up on God, and don't be frustrated at God. The Bible says if we come boldly to the throne of grace, we'll obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. The altars are open. I'll pray and he'll play the invitation song. The altars are open. Perhaps there's something you've given up on. You need to come back tonight and say, God, I come back to you in prayer with this burden, with this need. Heavenly Father, help us tonight to be a committed Christian. As we learn from Philippians chapter 1 with joy and excitement and commitment, help us to magnify you with our lives. Help us, Lord, if there's a decision that ought to be made, Lord, that we'd make that decision in that matter. And then, Lord, I pray that you'd help us to accept your help as you give it. And, Lord, patiently wait as the mercy and the grace of God is extended in our life. Bless our invitation in Jesus' name.